guys, are you ready to record? Okay, didn't get
not quite
enthusiastic
actually.
Response from everybody, but that does not deter me. All Feelings Wrestling Podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And we have some exciting behind the scenes, on the scene reporting this week. AEW was in Boston. Mm-hmm. Leah was there.
Sure was. It was unbelievable. Did it feel to you guys like the crowd was
Yeah, that crowd
loud?
Was crazy. Yeah. It's so hard loud. To tell because, and this is a compliment to AEW, I'm really happy about it. They've started miking all the shows much better, so you can hear a lot more of what's going on, and I think that you can hear the crowd better, but this crowd still seemed mega crazy compared to other ones.
And wasn't the crowd, didn't you think they were not great the last show? Since Boston's gotten two shows and my hometown has gotten zero shows.
Even though Jim Cornette is from there.
Even though Jim Cornette, who loves AEW.
AEW superfan Jim Cornette is from there.
They could probably get him to come on, you know? He would love it. We would all really enjoy
We'd
it.
We'd all love it.
We were obsessively discussing it because the last time they came, we had bought tickets and we were like, I kept being like, I don't know that I'm gonna be this much into wrestling when the show happens, so I'm not spending a lot of money on tickets. And so we bought nosebleed seats, it was the $30 ones, and we were surrounded by people that like hadn't watched AEW, and they just like were like, oh, it's wrestling, I'll just go. And it felt like the crowd sucked and everybody around us sucked, and like I was like one of those things where I was like, do I need to go to wrestling? Like, maybe I don't. But this time we got such good seats. We were underneath the hard cam and it was like so close. We were four rows up from like front row. And the crowd was amazing. Everybody around us was amazing. I was high for like so long. I was like my throat ached this morning from just screaming I was screaming for Christian Cage. Like, it's unbelievable.
We'll get to it, but damning. Just kidding.
So yeah, I don't know whether like AEW has gotten more popular or whether it was just like the difference in the like section we were sitting in, but it felt like it felt closer to the All Out crowd than it did anything else we've done.
When was the last one? Was it in the fall?
Yeah, it was after. Was it
was
before?
It was October, I think.
I feel like it was October, yeah.
Oh, it was Halloween. It was Halloween. Of course it was Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
Because you saw Ghostbusters.
Sure did.
Which was supposed to be Squid Game, but they couldn't do Squid Game.
Oh.
I read something about that recently. Yeah, so Ghostbusters was a last minute thing.
Oh. Interesting. That's crazy. I wonder if AEW has gotten more popular, if you were just in better seats. It could be.
I don't know. Because
the crowd did seem crazy, though, on the
crowd seemed
television.
Crazy. Yeah. And I do feel like obviously you can tell, she said confidently from having been to two shows, but it's like you can tell if you're in like a good section or a bad section, but you also can tell what the vibe of the whole place is. Yeah. So I think it was a good crowd.
It felt very good. Yeah.
Well, Leah's going to be weighing in with her her in-person experiences throughout the program. Mm-hmm. We don't have to cover this. I just didn't understand why we're having a Saturday show. Don't care. We do have to... whatever. Thank you to whoever filled that in. We do have a special correction. It's like a contextualization. Does somebody else want to explain what's going on here?
So I was in the museum. I was in the Museum of Fine Arts today.
Of course, as all great stories do, this begins in the Museum of Fine
looking
Arts.
Looking at Matisse's, and all of a sudden my phone buzzes, and I go down and look, and someone has added Tunnel Talk and been like, "Guys, can you clarify what's going on when you say that?"
One of our beloved fans.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for, feeling comfortable enough to bring this to our attention. Because you did send us into hysterics.
Absolute hysterics. I made a noise that made other people turn around and look at me.
In the Museum of Fine Art, where she was supposed to be experiencing culture. Matisse.
And it's at Casual Ruffian, our follower. Yes. tweeted at us asking if cornholing meant ass fucking or not.
I like how you got a little shy when you started to say that.
I was like, well, am I allowed to say that?
You kind of have to explain it. So it's fact finding. Yeah, we did tweet about this, but we are quoting Arrested Development, and we actually did a little polling. We couldn't get a read on. We think there are people who understand the phrase, and other people who maybe only know the ass fucking definition. But it's just about having fun, chatting with your friends, having a good time. At the time that other people would want to be a part of, and they're jealous if they're not. So that is what cornholing is all about.
It's a lawn game. It's a lawn game.
But I'm just conceptual.
I know you're supposed to evoke all those things, but just to be clear, it is a regular lawn game that
people
maybe
are saying
like
it every day.
Just
yeah.
quoting Arrested Development is all we're doing. So yeah.
I like these two different explanations.
What I'm doing is quoting Arrested Development. I don't know what
Emily's
doing.
I mean, it is a lawn game. That is not the provenance of
There's like two layers to the thing, right? Like Arrested Development, yes, we are all making that reference, but
they weren't playing cornhole. They were eating cornholes.
They were eating cornholes, a fried ball.
And it may have been an ass fucking joke on Arrested Development that I didn't get. That would be classic. They were saying so many things on that show that it's like you are only picking up on so many of them based on your life experiences. Cornholing has never entered into mine, aside from in the Arrested Development sense. Is that enough of a... Have we contextualized this enough?
I think we've contextualized it. Anyway, we were horrified and delighted to hear
this. Yeah, I was to be clear, Allie was not having sex with her friends last week.
No.
She did not put the wrestling on while they were cornholing.
Guys, I cannot keep cornholing if we don't put the wrestling on.
I need that soundtrack.
Okay, we're moving on. We are going to start out by talking about our beloved Young Bucks, who were back on TV in fine form this week. So first, they fought Top Flight on last week's Rampage. I did love this Cage Side Seats quote. I will read it. The Martin brothers were too much to handle early, so the Jackson brothers used their wits to play cat and mouse tricks to take control. I agree that is what they did, and I loved watching it. Very fun, mostly just filler, though, on the road to Young Bucks versus FTR on Dynamite. Leah saw it live, and she's still with us.
It was touch and go.
Just barely.
Yeah, I was sitting next to my friend Blaine, it was her first ever wrestling match in person.
Did she live wrestling?
She loved it.
Yeah.
She was the funniest person to be next to because she vocalizes everything she's feeling. So every time she'd be like, oh no, oh, get him.
Has she watched AEW before?
She watches it every week, and she actually listens to this pod, so hello, Blaine. Nice. But it was perfect. But anyway, so like the whole Young Bucks match, I just kept punching her in the thigh and then be like, sorry, I didn't mean, and then just punching her again. But first of all, the crowd was 1,000% FTR.
They're supposed to be, but that is crazy. It's crazy.
Disgusting, though. Yeah.
Of course, it's repulsive, but you have to give it to the Young Bucks. Like, they are such good heels that it's like they're beloved, and people are like, no, of course I'm not going to cheer for the Young Bucks when the Young Bucks told me with everything they do that they're the baddest boys in the world.
They spit gum at the camera and thrust their hips. Yeah, I mean.
Did you see that Kath Barbadaro tweet the other day where she was like, you got to hand it to the Young Bucks. Even the way they chew gum is very obnoxious.
And it's true. They work at it. They put in the work.
It's true. They didn't chew their gum like that before the heel turn.
And someday they'll stop chewing their gum like that.
That's
and
right.
We'll
They're
be like,
in total control of their gum chewing. So
the perspective that we have, we couldn't see that Cash's foot was on the rope for the rope break. So we had fully, I was like, I can't believe they won. I didn't expect them to win it. I was like losing it. I was like on my feet and screaming. And then all of a sudden when Rick Knox kept tapping them on the shoulder and being like, guys, hey guys, turn around. For, hey, can you turn around for a minute? I was like, what's going on? What's going on? Oh my God.
I thought it did get me really with that ending.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, so FTR, everyone's, we've gotten, guys, we've heard from a lot of people. I mean, a shocking number of people this past week who are like, now we are horny for FTR. Yeah.
Including the Anon, who sent us a message I haven't answered yet, who said that they had an Omicron surge for FTR.
Not how that's supposed to be used. Yeah, I mean,
I'm sorry. You need a vaccine, babe. You need to get boosted.
Oh my God, that's the problem. People haven't gotten boosted. That's how FTR is getting in. Look, we love all of you. We love that you are feeling love. I did just want to check in with the group. I think I described this as kind of a I don't know what I call it. Oh, it's like the thing where I'm trying to figure out if any of you have an alien in you. How are we feeling about FTR, ladies?
No Omicron surge here.
Okay. It would have been so funny if I was a good liar and could have like maintained it and popped into this podcast and been like, top guys, more like top me. And like just been like, I'm a full FTR head, baby. But I couldn't have done it.
Well, you did kind of have that one ready to go.
Yeah, you kind of planned it out.
Actually, if this were the thing, you would be suspect number one.
You're on my list. We're keeping an eye on this whole situation.
Yeah.
I know. No, all I can say for them is that I really like their jackets this week. I appreciate it.
You always like their gear, right?
I know.
And I do. And I'm always hearing later that they do a lot of like Midnight Express, like that era of wrestling references in their gear. So I think it's just that you like cool 80s gear.
That's
and
all that it is.
Really,
yeah.
About FTR.
It's definitely not about FTR. One time I did go to like, I think they were having like a sale at Pro Wrestling Tees or whatever. And so I was like, oh, I'll just like browse all of the AEW like merch to see if there's any t-shirts I like the look of, because there's lots of wrestlers I like. And maybe I'm not like checking out their individual sites. And every time I saw one that like wasn't just black and white, like looking like a metal t-shirt, I was like, oh, I kind of like that. Every single time it was an FTR shirt. And I was like, absolutely not. It was an unsettling experience, though.
In time, perhaps you will become an FTR head just for the fashion.
Just for the fashion.
And if that happens to you, I'll respect you. I won't judge you. I won't make fun of you on this podcast.
Again, suspect number one.
If you have some pathetic man that you decide that you're for.
Are you trying to ding me for judging?
Yeah, and I am, actually. I'm just saying I wouldn't treat you the way you have treated me.
All right. The FTR Young Bucks match. So FTR did win, which we expected. Very fun match. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? FTR could not have FTR couldn't have ruined it for me. They didn't.
Which is shocking, really, because they can ruin almost anything for me. So, you know.
No, I loved it.
I was obsessively reading last night because I wanted people to tell me that it was as good as I thought it was. And people just kept being like, the thing is that like it was like an absolutely perfect match. But these are like two tag teams who are at the absolute top of their game and that people expect like perfect matches for, so there's like literally no way they could have like
exceeded expectations.
Expectations were so high for it.
Well, I do feel like even commenting on it now, it's like it was a good match, like no one's surprised, like you don't need me to tell you.
I mean, it's like it was the kind of where it's like I'm just like, it doesn't sound good, like it sounds it's a ding on me to be like this, but I'm like, yeah, I watched the whole thing. Yeah, I just stopped looking at my computer and only watched the match. That's how good it was.
I felt the same way. Where I was good. I was like texting you guys like through most of the like just little comments and like keeping up on your group watch. But I had my phone away and I was like riveted the whole time. I was like, I'm not fucking with you guys. I'm into this.
Yeah. Hardly anyone was saying anything in the group chat during that match. So,
And wow. Nick was doing, I mean, like some of the moves that he did, I just was like, I know no one is sleeping on Nick Jackson, but I felt like, are we sleeping on Nick Jackson? Like, he really can get it done. So it was great. And also, Dax shoved one of their headpieces into his crotch. So there was like something for everyone.
It was, that was quite a move, especially like in those little panties. Like you're just like, I don't think there's anything under there. No, like,
well, I hope there is, because I don't ever want to get, I don't ever want to get the front flash.
No, I know. And I live in fear. Well, from FTR, I never want to get the front flash.
Yes, exactly.
Anyway.
From, okay, well, I think if we got the front flash from literally anybody, it would be like the funniest thing that ever happened. Like, I want to be clear. It's like, it wouldn't be erotic. It would be high comedy. But yeah. Okay. Well, any other thoughts on this whole deal?
I can't believe that Matt got kissed.
Oh, my God.
I know. I was really scandalized.
I know.
People are really using his Adam Cole kissing
against him. Yeah. And when I looked at it later, Dax really almost got him on the mouth. Like, he's so close to
they
the
kissed
mouth.
Him in, like, real kisses.
Yeah, they're like,
they kind of seemed like they were trying to get to each other.
Their faces were, like, more close to each other than, like, the Bucks typically get
the Bucks,
on Adam Cole.
Yeah. On Adam Cole, they are firmly
they're
on the
apples.
Cheeks.
They're on
the
apples.
Firmly
right,
on the apples.
Yeah.
They were more on, like, corners of the
mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, it is relatable, you know, like, I understand. Sometimes you just gotta kiss Matt Jackson, and you're like...
You actually said that mostly you want to kill Matt Jackson.
Me? No, yeah. I don't want to kiss Matt Jackson, but I understand other people have urges.
We were a little concerned that we let you that close to the ring immediately after saying you would murder Matt Jackson, so...
Yeah, it was actually really bad for me, because being under the hard cam meant that every time he was mean mugging or, like, prancing around, he was doing it at me, and I was like, I want, like, a little curtain that I can just
a modesty shield. Leah's like, I need a veil. This is my wedding, and I need a veil.
Oh my God, a full body veil is exactly what I need to bring the next time.
There you go.
It's fine. Very She's gonna normal. Get herself thrown out of one of these shows.
Just coming in a full body veil.
I'm like, no, don't worry about it. It's just to keep me from murdering Matt Jackson. It's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. But no, that was iconic. Matt Jackson spitting up at them was also iconic, where I was just like, you are the female lead of The Mummy right now. Like, that's what's happening here. And da-ding, da-ding, it's like my brain is like going on all, firing on all cylinders. You love to see it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now that we've worked ourselves up, let's cool down a little and discuss. Adam Cole and Christian Cage also had a fight on Dynamite. Tony Khan said in an interview that this match has been in the making for 6 months, which I believe confused everyone on this pod, because I'd kind of forgotten about, like, it's like, we've seen Christian a lot. He's always coming out with Jungle Express. I just forgot that he existed, really.
Yeah, very unobtrusively when he runs out there. Yeah, it's just like, he in the making for 6 months, like, not in that he's ever, like, talk to Adam Cole, I don't think, or if he did, I immediately blocked it out.
I don't think so. I don't remember that. Anyway, we'll talk a little more about that, but this was, I think, technically a very good match. Like, I agree, it was felt it was good to watch. You were like, they really do be doing the moves correctly, I think. Adam Cole won with a little trickery that I wasn't really following, but no one else got involved. It was just his own little trickery. And then Red Dragon came out to beat up Christian some more, and then Jurassic Express came out, and then Hangman came out and challenged Adam Cole to a Texas death match on next week's Rampage.
For the title.
Yeah. So let's start out by talking about experience of the match and what you're feeling about Christian right now.
Well, I had forgotten that Christian existed, but as soon as I saw him, like, with his shirt off and all that, I was just like, oh no.
And you are like, you're the OG Christian girl.
I know.
The second you saw him, you said, hello, that's for me.
It was like, oh, right, that's why I was the OG Christian girl, because, like, I'm unfortunately brutally attracted to him. I feel like it's just my demographic. It's like when you get, like, a tired-looking middle-aged dad out there, it's just like, yeah, look at that chest hair on that man.
That weary chest hair.
Because it was like, why did I ever like Christian? But then I was like, oh, that's why. And it's like, too bad about his personality. But
I love
but
that.
But then, like,
you.
Watching the match was like very... I was very into it, like, more
that
than I would
match.
Have thought, because I feel like I'm under attracted to Adam Cole compared to, like, the rest of the internet, but, you know.
Yeah, still. I'm also not really attracted to Adam Cole. Like, it's like, I'm actually I'm attracted to him when he's like dressed like a normal man with his hair in his sweet little bun. Actually, he's doing his Twitch stream. That's
I saw him with dry hair lately, and it was like, oh, he is very cute.
Yeah, he's cute when he has dry hair, but he does everything he can to drive you away when he gets out in that ring and he's just dripping.
A little sea creature. Yeah, leaving grease spots on the ring.
He says, I don't want or need your attraction.
It's not really what I'm doing.
Not what I'm about. So,
So I like this. So this was our first match, and I have to say I was not excited for this at all. The crowd was so pumped, and there was like competing Adam Cole and Christian Cage chants, and I don't know what got into our section, but we were 100% like booing Adam Cole and being like, "That's bad behavior. You're being bad. Ref, get him." It's like suddenly I became the cops, and it was I don't know. I was like, for that entire 20 minutes or whatever it was, I was a Christian girl, and I'm like shaking, still kind of shaking that off.
Was it because you saw his chest hair and you were brought back to yourself all of a sudden?
That's a man who would take the trash out, and you know what? You have to respect that.
Yeah. You know, I don't think that I had the sexual experience that you ladies had. It turns out I'm like not really attracted to Christian Cole, even though I do love chest hair. Or Christian Cole.
You just get them married.
You just marry them. Yeah. Tony, that's a free idea. Yet another.
But I wish I could have made you join that crowd, because you're just as weak-willed as I am. Like, you also
are
very
crowd.
Yeah,
of course I cheer for anyone. Yeah. I'm not judging you.
FTR? No. Would you cheer for FTR, ladies?
But that was...
No, well... That's different.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Of course I do. I was enjoying our section so much, but the guy behind me was a Young Bucks hater, and he kept going, "Young Bucks fight." And I was like, am I about to get into a like fist fight right now? Because I will.
I'd love to hear about that. I think what came out of this match for me was at one point Christian Cage started bleeding from his mouth. And I was like, he's bleeding. That I like. And he also was getting really worked up. And then we had a promo later on Dynamite when Christian got really mad. He was so frustrated at his loss that he threw a water bottle and stormed out of a promo he was supposed to be doing with JB and Luchasaurus. And JB had his little, I thought this was quite sweet, his little on-screen moment of being like, oh, I've got to ride a bike. It's not a tricycle anymore. I have to do it. And he did a pretty good job.
He's come a long way. It's nice to see our little kids.
His little hand on Luchasaurus's chest when he was like, no, I've got... Because Luchasaurus seemed like he was going to go after him, and he was like, no.
No.
I've got it. It's okay.
Very sweet. But I do... If Christian Cage turned heel, as I actually have been begging him to for 6 months or whatever...
That's true. Yeah.
I would like him much. I would find him so much more interesting, because I just fundamentally... the character is nothing when he's being a good mentor. But if he's being an evil mentor, he's interesting.
Yeah. Well, and our friend Mary said that he can be really brutally mean, which I would love to see. Come out here and be devastating at somebody.
That
sounds
great.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll do that. Did you guys have any thoughts on the Hangman Adam Cole promo at the end? They did some intense kissing pose. Mm-hmm. They were both, they clearly were really working themselves up. I thought they did a good job of that.
They brought a ton of intensity. Adam Cole was heavy breathing, and Hangman was really yelling at him and stuff. So I felt they executed it well, but I went back and rewatched it, and it's still lacking a lot of specificity. It's just it really could be any two people.
Yeah, there's not really any there. But I agree that they executed kissing pose perfectly. Good job.
I think that they're trying to do a thing. Instead of doing any kind of emotional thing, it's Hangman is just, Adam Cole is just annoying Hangman and has been picking at him and irritating him. And this was supposed to be the moment where it's Hangman's lost his temper and is all right, you've got my attention. And this is an end to this, which I think that it's not bad, but I think I'd believe it more if it was Kyle O'Reilly, you know what I mean? I don't know that that Adam Cole has been annoying enough to pull this completely
well
off.
He's been pretty annoying, but I think it's just that again, Adam Cole hasn't done it. Doesn't have to be with Hangman, but he hasn't done the work of being this is the psychology of my character and this is what's going on with me. I don't know. Like, there's just something missing that wouldn't have to come from, like the specific relationship between the two of them necessarily. But also, it's kind of wasteful not to have it come from because they already called out that they have, like, a really long history and they have the Bucks as a thing. Yeah. And, like, now the Bucks have become a weird thing for Adam Cole, too. So it's just, like, it's just kind of, you know, it's like you're not really using the material that you have to work with, which is a little aggravating.
Yeah. I feel like I'm just like waiting for the Hangman and the Bucks payoff, and it feels like it's taking forever at this point.
It's fine if it takes a lot. Like, I don't mind if it takes a lot longer, actually, but I would like to understand. I don't know. I just want
to. I feel like they could be using Adam Cole to like keep it alive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I just think it is going to be a long time, and I think that's good. I actually do. I was. We'll come back to this later, but I was thinking about like the. If something goes slowly and you get payoff, it's great that it went slowly. You just don't want it to go slowly and not get payoff.
Yeah, right.
It's true. Although sometimes like things can drag. Just thinking of like the Miro best friends feud, like there can be like too,
right. Things
too
can
slow.
can go too slowly for sure. But I think I don't feel that way about Adam Cole and the Bucks. Like, I'm like, you could take another year to figure your shit out, or like to get back to like a place where you're interacting, and that would be okay with me if I'm seeing some stuff along the way. Yeah. So yeah, well, Christian, do something. Well, the end. Okay, we got two Yuta related promos on Dynamite this week. So first, we had the Blackpool Combat Club. That name is really going to be the death of me. Very hard to remember. Had a little promo announcing that Bryan Danielson... Actually, maybe this was after the other one. Whatever, doesn't matter. Bryan Danielson is going to fight Trent on... Is this also on Rampage? Are these both on Rampage? Yeah, on Rampage. And Mox is going to fight Yuta on Rampage. So William Regal really used some top-notch phrases. he was off his nut with excitement. He said that Yuta's not, after Yuta and Mox fight, he's not going to know whether it's daylight, moonlight, or Fanny by the Gaslight.
It does feel a little bit like he's doing a parody of a British person, except he's really British, right? So, good for
absolutely,
him.
But I like it very much. But he said that Yuta had impressed him. Yuta did win the Ring of Honor thing. Belt. Yeah.
He got the belt.
He got a belt. He bought a belt this weekend. So, yeah, William Regal's pretty impressed.
This promo is so funny, too, because while William Regal was talking, like, Moxley was, like, shifting back and forth from foot to foot, and Bryan Danielson was standing there with his arms crossed, and they both just had a very young energy to them. Like, it really was like their dad was there, and they were feeling like teenagers.
Well, it was very funny, too, that William Regal, again, was, like, Bryan Danielson, like, the perfect wrestler, but Mox is the one who is hard to impress. And I was just like, it is like a dad who's saying stuff about his sons, where it's like, well, they're going to have to go to therapy about this later.
You're kind of watching someone traumatize their children. I'm just like, well,
it's not great. And then we also got another promo with Best Friends where Chuck Taylor tried to appeal to Yuta and be like, I'm your dad. I've always taken care of you.
Your mother-in-law, I love you very much, actually.
Your mother, Orange Cassidy, and I love you so much. We've always given you everything that you needed. Please don't abandon us. And then Trent was like, no, you fucking suck and you're a dirtbag. And then...
And apparently in kayfabe, Wheeler Yuta still lives on Chuck Taylor and Orange Cassidy's couch where they live together, I guess.
I mean, I love that. And just like a pretty good promo where Yuta stormed off and Chuck Taylor looked really sad because he tried to touch Yuta to be like, it's okay. And Yuta yelled at him. Sad. Yeah. It's really hard when you have a teenager, I hear. So it's rough.
I love that Best Friends are actually doing like a storyline here with the motions, and they're like keeping it going week to week.
Yeah. I feel a little like worried. I feel a little worried about it. Like what's going to happen eventually? Because their booking has been so funky and... I think probably like, you know, little OC is injured. So if I had to guess, that probably like shifted some stuff that they were doing. So I feel really, because Chris and Danhausen both weren't in this promo.
Mm-hmm. Although it is very funny to think about like if Danhausen had been there for an emotional plea.
I don't think that he would have been like that additive. Yes.
And Chris was kind of teasing like maybe a heel turn kind of thing. Like she was saying, you're going to see the other side of Chris Statlander. And
I know. I don't know where that's going to go now, though, because so the Dark Elevation matches before Dynamite, Layla had the very first one against some jobber, and she got hurt really early, and she came off the ropes and landed on her knee, and she had to kind of be, like, carried out by two, like, refs. So I don't know. It could have been less big a deal than it was.
Yeah,
but if that
is pretty bad,
it might fuck up Chris's. I don't know. I mean, well, they could find her another opponent, but
yeah, I think I just don't understand, like, fully what exactly is going on anyway, because it's like Layla is a heel, and so it's like Chris's heel turning on a heel, which is, like, not that you couldn't do it, but, like, I have to say the whole thing doesn't fully add up to me.
Yeah, it feels like a little never underdeveloped. Has. Yeah, like, yeah. Just, like, they're not quite explaining what's happening to her.
Well, this actually... Oh, no, my God, we have got to talk. Let's talk about Julia Hart, and then let's jump back to Sammy and Ty Conti. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so, because I want to talk about, like... So Julia Hart fought Sheeta on Dynamite in the first round of the Owen Hart tournament, and she lost, but who fucking cares? Because what matters is that she was in her angry mean girl mode. So
she was in,
like,
her dark green gear, which is, like, a very subtle but more evil looking.
Yeah, the costuming has been really good. Like, as angry cheerleader, she's doing a great job. Yeah. It's Jennifer's body, baby.
Yeah. Did you guys notice too that, like, she had her eye patch on and she had, like, dark makeup starting to streak out underneath it, like Malachi's eye corruption makeup, which I, like, did some Googling to be like, what is Malachi's, like, explanation of his whole eye thing? And then I got a lot of very incoherent stuff from him that's like, he's thinking about it a lot. I don't know that it holds together, but anyway.
It does fully add up that man is always like, I had a real backstory. And he's like, you know, it's like a guy, you take a creative writing class with him freshman year, and he's been working on his, like, fantasy series for his whole life, and it's like 9,000 pages, and you read some of it and you're like, this does not make sense.
He was literally like, yes, it was the demon Moloch or Malachi who had sent him into, like, a 5-year fugue state where he thought Aleister Black on WWE was real, but it was actually a dream. And then, like, the eye makeup is, like, the internal corruption, and the darker it gets, the more evil.
Good for you, buddy. That's great.
Yeah.
But anyway, in this match, it's like Julia Hart, like, sneak attacked Sheeta before the match started. She tried to choke her out with her jacket. Griff and Brian Pillman Jr. were like, Julia, don't do that. And then
they were doing the acting of their lives. When they were, hey, what are you doing? No. That's all we do. That's bad. Hey, our parents raised you better than that. As your brick brothers, don't do that.
It is very funny because it, like, literally is watching one of the Sweet Valley Girls. Like, if that book, like, took a weird turn.
Absolutely. And that would, you know what? This could happen to Jessica Wakefield. And I think that there were books where it did. And you know what? I'll go research some of them.
They had an older brother named Steven.
Yes. Brian Steven. And Griff together are one man named Steven
Wakefield. Yeah.
Yeah. And then she told them to leave, and she ordered them out of the ring, and then she lost. But I wanted to talk about this in conjunction with the Chris heel turn, because we were saying, and, like, some of our friends were saying right before this match, like, I really want to see some movement with the Julia Hart thing. And this was, like, a really good amount of movement. And I thought, like, I was just like, I like that it's going slowly, but that, like, you're seeing it often enough that you think about it, and that you got the experience of being like, are they doing this? Oh shit, they are doing this. I love that they're doing this. Like,
that
it's
experience,
really,
like,
fun.
It's really funny with wrestling, because, like, sometimes something you're like, am I imagining this? And they are not being careful with it at all, but sometimes they are being careful with it, which is very fun. But yeah, I feel like it's like a Wardlow Soulburn, where it's like every time you saw her, it did, like, progress a little bit, you know? So like, it's definitely kept it going. And I love, like, her as, like, like, demonic cheerleader is gonna be so good. Like,
and I'm rewatching Veronica Mars right now, and actually she's giving big Veronica Mars flashback to Veronica Mars present day vibes, where it's like, she's like, I got spat in the eye, and, like, yeah, it changed my perspective, literally. So
it is just, like, such a great, like, I would never have expected, like, Malachi's whole missed corruption thing to, like, stick with Julia Hart, like, to combine those two, but it's, like, working really well.
Yeah. It does make you wonder, because it's like, he did it to Pac too, but, like, Pac and is Cody. Fine.
Yeah, Pac yeah. and Cody recovered after 2 weeks.
Well, did Cody recover? He left.
I mean, I think Cody, in terms of internal corruption, like, IRL never recovered.
Like, he was just like, this is kayfabe. And it was like, bitch, it's not. Yeah, but this is, I think this has been great. I'm really excited to watch it keep developing. I think that she's going to be a really good heel. So yeah. I like I it a lot. Great.
Yeah, and I feel like my whole complaint with the cheerleader gimmick was that it seemed very like shallow and not doing anything interesting with it. Whereas this is like actually like a very interesting yeah. little way to jazz it up.
A classic experience of adolescence. Everything is yeah. sunny and great, and then suddenly you start to see the world, and you're like, it blows. Fun yeah. sucks. This yeah. isn't cool. Yeah. So okay. So now let's jump back to say that Leah, you didn't see the Best Friends promo live and in person because instead you were seeing what?
I was seeing Sammy and Ty Conti do their cards.
Well, that is more obviously, fun. That's better. That,
yeah. If I had to choose between seeing my literal actual sons that I birthed versus those two morons, obviously I would have chosen them.
Of course. Sure, Sammy and Ty every time.
When I checked Everybody my phone and realized that you guys were talking about Best Friends while I was staring at stupid Sammy Guevara.
Were you pretty confused about how excited we were to see Sammy and Ty?
Yeah. You guys were like, oh my God, this is the best. Oh my God, this is breaking my heart. And I was like, what the fuck is happening right now?
What
and actually, I hissed. Oh, well, you thought I was reading them. You're full of shit. I hissed something at Sarah. I was like, everybody at home is seeing Chuck Taylor. Like, it was very good. But what was interesting to me is that the moment they walked out, they started getting booed.
That's fantastic.
I ended up watching it on. I ended up watching Dynamite, and you couldn't hear it, but like they were getting healthy boos.
Well, it's good because they're hateful. They're insufferable.
I mean, they're on purpose heel turning, right?
I don't know.
Here's the thing. I don't know, but I think that if they do keep getting booed, Tony will turn them because I don't think Sammy has the problems with going heel that Cody did.
No.
So, yeah. like, I think...
I feel like Sammy and Ty are weirdly a little more savvy about crowd reaction yeah. than Cody is. Yeah.
Like, well, it's like, who is not? But yeah. I think, you know, it really speaks to the whole vibe of Sammy Guevara that it literally hadn't occurred to me until this show when you were being like, they're booing. And I was like, oh, they are heel turning on purpose, I think, because, and then I was just like, because every time someone heel turns, they get really horny. And the horny sex stuff you are yeah. not getting from faces, well, except on Silver, maybe.
I don't know. Like, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know.
You don't think so?
It is very funny to think about the fact that heels are overly sexualized. It's really yeah. like a little conservative bent
well,
in all
like
of
Matt
our
Jackson
media.
Well, it's like Matt Jackson doing his nasty doing hip gyrations when he's, a, yeah. when he's a heel.
But yeah. I don't know that Sam and Ty like were thinking of themselves as being overly sexualized heels like when they yeah. were like fucking on the belt. I think they thought it was kind of wholesome and
yeah,
romantic.
I think that it might end up going that way.
Yeah.
But I don't think that they expected it. Because the other thing is, like, I already spoiled you guys for this, and the crowds, I mean, the pod will have come out after Rampage. So I'm just going to say that they had a segment with Dan Lambert on Rampage. And when Sammy started talking, the crowd immediately started a shut the fuck up chant. But then Dan Lambert got so disgusting and offensive that like then the crowd switched back to like booing him and like cheering when Sammy said something against him. But then Sammy started talking too long and the boo started against Sammy again. And it was clearly one of those things.
We need like
where
a corollary
like,
to the like, this is awesome chant.
Yeah.
Like,
I was like,
actually everything
terrible.
About this
yeah.
sucks. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just really funny because it was one of those things where it was like, I hate Dan Lambert and I need to communicate that, but I don't know how to do it while not rewarding Sammy.
Well, you know, whatever. I don't know. Like, it
there
could
is
easily...
nothing more hateful than people who are flaunting their
Absolutely.
Happy relationship in front
I don't,
of you. I mean, it's just a universal principle.
I think it is actually unfathomable to me that anybody could be like, yeah, I'll tell him like we fucked on the belt and post a picture of us like naked with the belt and everyone's gonna be like, that's really cool, fun face stuff. Like, because it's the kind of thing if someone did
crazy.
If your friend did it on Instagram, you'd be like, bitch, you've lost it. You are out of your fucking mind. So I think it's on purpose, but again, you know, who knows? And it's like, you could never tell, because actually Sammy Guevara has never been a face to me. He's literally always been a heel the whole time.
Yeah.
Since the last time he face turned.
Attitude thing is just like, yeah, it's classic hateful heel stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So who knows? I guess we'll see what happens.
And they'll claim it was on purpose the whole time, even if it wasn't.
Yeah,
so we'll never know.
Yeah. You'll never know. And that's the joy of kayfabe. HulkHogan.jpg. Well, actually, this was about my opinion not changing. But speaking about my opinion changing, we also got a promo on Dynamite from Jade. I thought this promo fucked. I thought it was great, actually. So she cut a promo. Like, she has her baddie section. That's what she's doing now. She's like, I gotta have hot bitches, baddies supporting me.
She's the only one bringing unaccompanied women to these wrestling shows.
But did you see there was one? There was one man in the baddie section, and he was very. I mean, it was like extremely cute. She took a cute picture with him. Like,
he was living.
I loved it.
I enjoyed watching on Dynamite because they almost cut him out of it. Like, you could just see the side of his face. I need you guys to know that the entire time the spotlight was on him, he was mugging for all that he was worth. They were like, "Look at my sexy ladies," and he was like, "That is correct. That is me. That is me, and I'm happy."
That's beautiful.
I love that. And so she was like, MMA sucks. People in MMA think that they're so cool coming into this sport, but actually they blow.
Thank God someone finally said it. She was like, you're not wrestlers. You're like rejects who are trying to come to wrestling. It's like, yeah, that's right.
Great. Her whole costume vibe the past month, cause she got into the green look, which was great, but she's also been switching up the costume a lot more. Cause she used to only do the geometric bikinis. Every costume that she's had since she left those behind, I've been like, that's great. That's a great costume. Mm-hmm. You look cool. You look like a sexy freak. Love it.
And her little glasses were like insane, but I love them.
They were crazy. They said that bitch, and I still don't like that bitch. That I still don't like it as a tagline, but I loved the glasses. So
it was so funny because you would think that like if you were going to wear something like that, but you couldn't see through it because they weren't practical glasses, that you would look down and like let them come down your nose and do like a like little librarian thing. But psychotically, she was looking up under them. And she was tilting up her chin and like, look, I loved it. I loved it. It was crazy.
It was great. I think that like the past month, I know we said earlier we focused on the kiss thing. And what we ended up landing on in that talk was we were like, well, it's good if she's experimenting, if she's trying stuff out, like that's good. And I have to say, like, I still am like, I don't know that I need like the kiss thing just because like I have some, you know, it's like I have some personal hangups where I'm like, do we got to be doing like lipstick lesbianism in the ring in that way? I don't know how I feel about it. But everything else that she's done, I'm like, this is working for me. This is landing. Yeah. I think that you're like bringing such a good energy to your promos that wasn't there before. Like, I think that you're growing. You're doing great.
I feel like she's gotten like a lot more comfortable on the mic. Like she used to be like not wooden exactly, but she felt very rehearsed, you know?
Yeah.
And now she feels like she's out there like having a lot more fun and just like more relaxed.
Yeah, it's a little
great.
Weirder.
Yeah. Yeah. Love to see women getting weird.
Yes, we need it. So I'm really, really excited, really liking it. So she's going to fight, is this right, Marina Shafir?
Yeah.
And that's going to, if she wins, it'll be her 30th win in a row. But if she doesn't, she will not be undefeated anymore. What do you guys think is going to happen?
Couldn't predict. No idea. My life saved on me. I have no idea what's going on with Jade. I guess, like, are they going to want to keep pushing her and making her get 30? Or is this going to be, because they love them MMA girls. So I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea. I hope they've thought a little about like what the long-term storyline thing is for her, especially because she's getting so much more like comfortable and fun. So I'm like, I really want you to have a fun storyline because I think that you're getting to the point where you could really do it. So I guess we'll see what happens. Let's talk about, Leah, you saw this in person. Sean Spears did the Cell Block Tango. How'd you like that? She can't even comment on it. She's too aroused.
Just giggles. He just set herself on fire during this one.
Everything about him is so ridiculous. And just the way he like hops around the ring. Like when he was mad at MJF, like I was losing it because he was just hopping like a psychopath.
Like a little frog.
He's doing his best. You know what I mean? Like the man has his character and he is working at it.
Leah's like, he's a pathetic man. Respect it. Yeah.
That's what I like.
Did I tell you? I think I forgot to tell you guys when I saw the Impact pay-per-view. Sean Spears' wife is an Impact, so I was very close to Sean Spears' wife.
He's married?
Yeah, wow. Apparently.
And she lets him have that hair?
Jeff just leaned over to me and was like, that's Sean Spears' wife. And I was like, wow. And she lets him have that hair was kind of my first thought as well. Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
I think I was sitting next to either somebody who knows Sean Dean or someone who's related to Sean Dean, because this girl, like, did not pay attention to a single part of Dynamite until Sean Dean came out. And then she psychotically got so excited and she took a million videos and pictures. Aww. And then he left and she left.
She was like, she left.
She's like, I've, that's what I came here for.
That's funny. That's sweet. That's really cute. So Sean Spears fought Sean Dean. MJF was on commentary again. The crowd was losing it, chanting for Wardlow.
Go ahead. Do you guys think it's funny that the cadence of the Wardlow chant is the exact same cadence as the Ass Boys chant? It's like Wardlow,
Wardlow. Yeah. You're not wrong.
Never thought about it. Wow. Yeah.
Wow. And when Wardlow fights the Ass Boys two on one.
Wow.
That's going to be quite the crowd. Well, I thought during this, you know what's really fun about the Boston crowd right now, like all night? They really feel like they're tapped into what they're supposed to do, and they're doing it. Like, it just felt like the energy was right, where they were like, oh, I know exactly what I'm supposed to do in this match, and yes, I would love to chant that.
It's actually crazy to me, like, how over Wardlow is. Like, I really feel it, but it's just, like, they have just, like, played the storyline so well.
So perfectly.
So on his side. It's amazing.
Well, we've said it before. Like, it is just, you know, it's crazy to think, like, that a year ago, it was just like, oh, yeah, Wardlow's, like, around. He's not, like, a player. Like, he just, like, is there kind
it's
of
like
low-key.
Jake Hager. He's, like, part of the props in the background, basically.
Yeah. But they did it's like they've been, like, filling him in this whole time, and suddenly you're like, wow, Wardlow pops.
Yeah. One of my faves.
Great.
His grin when he distracted Sean Spears enough to lose, his, like, little smug grin of delight was so perfect. He's so good at face acting. He's great.
He's really good at it. I know. Yeah. And that whole thing where, like, the camera was rushing backstage, or you're like, something's happening, and then there's just, like, staff on the floor. Like, it's so funny.
It was very funny. I think, like, someone was just like, oh, maybe it was the Cage Side Seats person again, was just like, technically, like, is it good that, like, it's just these poor people's jobs and Wardlow's throwing them around? And I was like, you're definitely right, but it is so fun to watch.
It does always make
which
me think
they also
about,
said,
you know, in that Austin Power, like, this is such an old reference to that I did not know was still in the old brain box, but you know that part where he's like, henchmen also have families, and they just get mowed down, like, in the background. And every time Wardlow, like, throws 10 men around who are all just, like, wearing faceless staff t-shirts. It's like, these poor henchmen.
I never saw Austin Powers. Should I watch that?
You never saw Austin Powers?
I never saw it. No, well, I wasn't allowed. Because
literally
did that...
no idea how it would hold up in 2022, but it's probably fun.
Should we interrupt our Buffy rewatch and make that a good thing?
Make that a priority? Yeah, throw in it. We kind of need something to mix up with the Buffy. It's got a little
dismal in there. Dark.
No, we just got to finish it. I mean, we just got to get through to the end.
Well, we have to now that we're this close.
It's going to be rough.
No, I think when I was in a overnight go live shift, we put on Austin Powers in the background, but there was no sound. So, like, I really don't know how it held up, but I have, like, visually seen the movie lately. So
I saw it in theaters. Like, that was, like, a thing
I wasn't
that we
allowed
all...
to. Yeah. Because of my PBS family.
Your PBS family.
Unfortunately, I was a PBS kid. So, no, I didn't get to go see Austin Powers in theaters. But good crowd reaction. I don't know if you guys have thoughts on what the next, like, kind of step is in the Wardlow storyline. I really am not sure. I think MJF wants to fight Sean Dean next week, so that is going to happen.
I really need to see Wardlow powerbomb MJF at some point. That's what I need.
Yeah.
That's going to feel really good, too.
Yeah, it's going to feel so good. Yeah. When he almost did it, whenever, like, a month ago, it was... Yeah. I wanted it so bad.
It's gonna
I was
feel
thinking that
oh no, go ahead.
He needs a friend, and I wonder if yeah. FTR's face turn is gonna bring them back into alliance.
Jesus Christ. Please no.
It probably
God,
is.
No.
God.
That's not disgusting. What I that's not what I would like.
No. Don't drag Wardlow down into that.
Wardlow doesn't need that bad no. vibes.
FTR lying about how they're friends with him. He needs people who appreciate him for who he is.
Yeah. He needs to find a whole new set of
Dark Order.
I don't think that you've been watching Dynamite. They're actually family.
They're family. You know what?
They actually
yeah.
told us that last week.
Oh.
Actually.
Oh,
they
did
are,
they tell us that?
Well, if they told family. Us that, then must be true. That's on me. Well, I'm interested in what the basically how they're going to get him back into doing wrestling. Like, I want to know what the little narrative machination is going to be by which he no longer is employed by MJF and can be employed by AEW. So.
I hope they have him sign a contract in the ring.
Yeah.
I believe if he could follow the Jeff Hardy path and fake a drug relapse until they fire him.
Yeah. MJF wouldn't tolerate that, I bet.
Yeah. Drugs? MJF. Well, we'll see what happens. I think we'll get some more advancement next week, if I had to guess. Jamie Hayter and Sky Blue fought on Rampage. That was great for me. I loved it. And that was also in the qualification round of the Owen Hart tournament. So Jamie Hayter won. It's always like really funny in the early stages of the tournament where you're like, yeah, I do pretty much yeah. know how this is going to go.
Pretty clear, yeah.
We hadn't seen Sky Blue get to do like a kind of a slightly longer match in a while. I thought yeah. it was really good. Like, I mean, it
yeah.
was a good match.
I feel so fond of her just from seeing her yeah. all out, really. It's just like all.
She's Dante's little girlfriend.
Yeah, so
that's
sweet.
Just a sweet couple. Like,
yeah, not a heel couple. I've never seen them naked.
Babies.
It's great.
The face I just made where I was like, no, don't do that.
No, I don't want it. I don't need it.
No. That's a baby.
I've never seen exactly. them cornholing.
Now if we start using cornhole to mean what it doesn't mean.
Yeah, we're gonna fuck ourselves up real bad.
Yeah, well, easily. Were you going to say something, Leah?
Yeah, the next Owen Hart Eliminator thing is on Rampage, and it is Red Velvet versus Willow Nightingale. You guys have to watch it because
I'm gonna watch.
I will be demanding that we rate Willow Nightingale. I don't know if you guys have seen them. I think she has wrestled on Dark before, but she never made an impression before.
Oh.
I will be demanding that you guys rate her because I am obsessed.
I can't wait.
Killing me that you've seen Rampage and we haven't seen it yet.
I know, and because it's actually making me crazy because I'm like, why are we talking about last week's Rampage? We should be talking about this week's.
This is live Rampage privilege. I'm very excited about that. Were you gonna say something else, Leah?
Oh no, that was. I was just that. I'm a Willowhead now.
Okay, I can't wait to be a Willowhead. Also on Dynamite, Toni Storm and Jamie Hayter had a promo. I wish I could remember anything that I said I was going to rewatch it and I didn't. I don't remember anything. I don't remember why they were talking. Toni Storm tried to be like, let's be fine with each other. And Jamie Hayter was like, no, we're not. Unfortunately, this was some of the worst promo work I have seen in a minute.
Really bad.
I say
early Jungle Boy level.
Really Jungle Boy. And especially Toni Storm's delivery of like the final line where it was something like, you know,
quite
like
bad.
This is not over between us. I was like, babe, we got to be dialing that back quite a bit. we got to get into naturalistic mode. Okay.
I was like losing it because I cannot hold in my head that Jamie Hayter is British. I don't know why. She seems like she's from New Jersey. And so I'm constantly shocked.
That is kind of her energy when she's yeah. not talking. Yeah.
And then the reveal that Toni Storm is also British.
I think she's from New Zealand. Am I making
is
that
she?
Up?
Because when she started the accent, I was like, literally, is she doing a fake accent to mock Jamie Hayter? Is
yeah,
what
I was like, I thought they
second.
Were both doing fake
no,
accents.
No, she's
from
New Zealand Australian.
Okay, oh, wow. That makes sense. Yeah, because her accent definitely sounded off in the way that New Zealanders tend to.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jamie Hayter's like real
wow,
name.
Wow, we just lost our New Zealand readership.
I know. Sorry, New Zealand. You guys are adorable. Yeah, Jamie Hayter's real name is Paige, which does sound British, so she should really be.
Oh, right. Yeah. We've been over this in we our have, fun yeah. game. well, I did think, ladies, we do got to be practicing. Look at Jungle Boy. He's yeah. putting in the time.
And he's paying off. Putting in the time. He and Jade have come so far.
They really have.
And Toni Storm, you were on W. When you've been a professional wrestler on television,
I think some people's experience with WWE, just from like watching them come into AEW, I'm like, you actually need to unlearn a lot of things that you did in the ring there. Like some people are just like, they're just like natural public speakers. They've like always been good at promos, even in WWE. A lot of people, though, I'm like, you learned a house style because you aren't a natural promo person, and you immediately must unlearn it because I cannot be hearing it on my TV.
And it maybe freaked them out because they're used to doing like a full script and now they have to like talk like a person. And but still it was quite bad.
It was very bad. It was not good. No. Okay. Let's talk about good promos though. So Eddie and Pride and Prejudice beat up the Jericho Appreciation Society backstage before Dynamite. Like we saw this as a, video clip, and then showed up for an in-ring promo. Basically, I think mostly to just say, like, we still want to fight Jericho, and we will fight Jericho, and we must fight Jericho.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like, we'll come to each of your houses individually and beat you up in front of your wife and children.
Oh, yeah.
I think was
kind of under any circumstances, right?
On site. On site.
Oh, that's right. On site. Right. Now, it's all coming back to me now. So, they are going to have a six-man tag next week with Jericho and presumably 2.0. Daddy Magic.
What did Eddie call them? Like cool Big Daddy, something. Yeah, it was funny.
What were the vibes during this promo, Leah?
Oh, heightened. There was a lot of there was a lot of Eddie screaming, and like the moment that he threw the TV, like got a huge pop. Like that.
I loved when he threw the TV. Yeah, that to me, I think, because he was wearing a green jersey that kind of looked like a Celtics jersey, even though it wasn't. Yeah, like it had such a Boston vibe to me. Like I looked up and I hadn't been looking at the screen, so I didn't see. I just saw Eddie's back wearing like a green jersey and throwing a TV. I was like, that's the most Boston thing I've ever.
Yeah. Boston was like, that's ours. I know he's. I know he's from New York, but he's ours.
Yep.
Interesting, because I felt a little bit like you could tell Eddie was getting big cheers, like was, obviously Eddie's very over. It felt a little bit to me like I couldn't really read the room on Santana and Ortiz. And there was a moment where like one of them had been talking and then Eddie like jumped back in a way where I was like, oh, like Eddie is like their like support kind of for their face turn and is helping them pivot, but I don't know how good it's going.
Santana went first, and I do think that like he was a little awkward, and it kind of like people were like, oh well, that was a try. Ortiz did better, like Ortiz but I do think that's right, that he is like kind of taking them to school, like promo school right now, and he's like, all right, you guys take it for a minute, see how this goes.
And the promo to me felt like a little, like obviously I love Eddie and he was doing great, but it felt like a little bit contentless because it was just like, we'll fight you. So I don't know, like it wasn't their best promo ever.
No, but I think it, like when I think about it as promo school, I'm like, that's sweet. And you're right. You got to take him out there and you got to say, okay, let's go. Obviously they've done promos before, but you know what I mean? Where it's, they've just been in such a weird space for so long. Yeah, like I just don't really think it was good for them. I mean, I know we are haters, but like, I don't really think it was good for them to be in Chris Jericho's crew. Yeah. Like they didn't get to like build like the skills that you like want to see him working on. Like, I was like, it's good for you to be out in the ring with Eddie and like, getting that
watching him. Yeah.
I'd love for like the wrestlers who aren't as comfortable doing promos to all be paired up with someone who's really good.
Yeah.
You know, just get an Eddie mentor, like, Jamie Hayter and Toni Storm, like pair them up with somebody. Show them what to do.
Yeah. I did. And the one thing I enjoyed about that promo is that it's clear that like Eddie was annoyed by Chris Jericho, but something about the loathing in his voice when he said Daniel Garcia's name cracked me up. Or he was, because he was like, Daddy, Big Daddy, or whatever your name is, and then he went, oh, and Daniel Garcia. I would love if Daniel Garcia started becoming like a Max Caster type, where you're just like, it's just so satisfying to punch him in the face.
I think he's getting there, and I think he likes it. And his tweets have been out of control this week. He's just he wants to be that. So good for him. He's doing hard work. Does anyone have anything from this last section that you desperately want to talk about? We're kind of like running up on time. Max Caster got ragdolled. That was sexy. Oh, let's just give Samoa Joe a new man rating, and that's the last thing that we will do.
Yeah.
So yeah. So to clarify, I guess Max Caster fought Samoa Joe on Dynamite, and Samoa Joe is a new man. Allie, was that useful? No. Well, go. What's the rating, ladies?
I would give him a 5, but I want to be clear that the crowd gave him an 11.5.
Wow.
Like, yeah. they were, there was multiple kinds of chance. It felt like when Keith Lee came. So it is like, I'm like, clearly he has something, because for that many people to love him, but I didn't really see it yet. But
okay. Yeah, maybe. I was kind of similarly, because I was kind of expecting him to like wow me like Keith Lee did right off the bat, because like I've heard of him, and I, you know, even though he hasn't been on AEW, and I knew he was a big deal, but yeah, I was like at a 4. Like, he seemed fine. I didn't hate it, but I wasn't excited. Like, he kind of left me, you know,
a little cold. No Christian Cage.
A little cold. No Christian Cage. That's right.
I actually really liked him. I think maybe it's the opposite experience, where I did know his name, but like somehow had a vision of him in his mind where I was like, I don't even know if he can wrestle. I think that maybe he's just like kind of a character actor who like comes out and does stuff. So, but then I liked his wrestling. He was ragdolling Max Caster, which I love to see.
Am I right in that like WWE took him out of wrestling and put him on commentary?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I want to say he, because he was like, was he doing like a Roman Reigns like backup situation? Like, was he in Roman Reigns? We don't know.
I did like that Kath Barbadaro tweet the other day where she was like, the thing about Samoa Joe is that his tope suicida is like a refrigerator flying off a truck that's going 90 miles an hour. I did like that. I'm ready to see that.
Oh, well, man. Anyway, so I think I just had the opposite experience where I was like, I'm not even sure he's going to wrestle. And then I was like, oh, I actually like this. So I would give him like 1 to 1.5 points below whatever I gave Keith Lee, where I'm like, it's like, I don't remember what I gave him, but like where I was like, I wasn't like, I'm immediately arrested, but I was like, oh, I'm immediately interested though. I'm very ready to see where you go.
It looks like from skimming Wikipedia that he was out with injuries quite a bit the last couple of
Max
years.
Max Caster did make that reference.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I thought you were skimming to find out what I gave Keith Lee. And I was like,
I was checking our Wikipedia. I'd love it if we had a Wikipedia just like cataloging our new man ratings.
Oh my God.
I would love that, because like I feel like a year later so we would be able to taunt each other with it.
Absolutely.
I'm going to start keeping a document. Yeah.
If we had new man ratings from some of these, like if we had our new man rating from Max Caster, I think we were giving him like a 1. We were like, we hated Max Caster.
Him at first. We're like, he keeps saying misogynistic things. Yeah. No, I think at the bottom of the workflow, I'm going to like start a list. And then we'll just, and if anybody ever listens to like old episodes, we can just add to
We'll fill them back in.
Did you guys think Max Caster did a good rap? Because I thought it was a really good one.
I did think it was a good one.
It wasn't like horny or anything, but like I thought it was very funny.
I think
I didn't get a lot of the references. I think I don't really remember.
I have no memory of it.
I did think it was good though.
I liked it at the time, but nothing really stuck with me. But that is pretty par for the course.
Samoa Joe was doing a thing where it wasn't like he was insulted, but he just kept being like, that's fair.
Yeah, like, that's fair, and like, nice. Like, yeah, that's
just
pretty
like
funny.
A little bit of a classic Max Caster reaction to where people are just like, yeah, I guess I knew that you were going to say that, and there it is, and you sure did say it. Okay, well, on that note, I've been Allie.
I've been Anne.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Gorkin. You can find us cornholing on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod and via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. That's where you can come cornhole with us. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, and come back next.